message. And then we had a great message from Pastor Sky, who was kind of talking about Hannah. And I love just how she kind of took an approach on Hannah and just kind of just showing us that she was a hero and how she just pressed into God. And as I was just praying and contemplating in this, and I was like, God, you know, something's stirring in my spirit. And there's times and moments where I kind of look out and we can get into just the same old. We get into the pattern, and it's not necessarily wrong. But we get into that flow. We go to church. We leave church. We do our devotions. We pray. We read the word. We might witness. But all of a sudden, where's the passion? Where's the life? And I remember just sitting on Sunday morning and just sitting there, and I was in worship. And it was powerful worship. But I'm asking God, God, what am I feeling? And I felt a weight. And in feeling that weight, I was asking him, what is this? So when you're feeling something, ask God. Because God's gonna enlighten you. He might say something about our own hearts. He might say something about what's going on in the room. And what the Lord just began to ponder into my spirit and pull into my spirit, and he says, my church isn't having the life and the breath of God within it right now. And it's not necessarily talking about harvest, but it's talking about the church here in America. And I want to share a little bit tonight about the breath of God, the Ruach. And that's the life of God, the breath of God. We have oxygen, and without oxygen, life cannot be sustained. We can have a life, we can do things, and sometimes we can even get oxygen from the doctor, and we can wheel that around in a canister, and that helps us do the tasks that we need to do. But without the oxygen, without the breath of God, everything pales into comparison. So tonight, I'm going to talk about that. So we're going to open with Genesis 1, 1 through 2. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God there is talking about the breath of God. And later on, we see that God is breathing and speaking and decreeing and declaring. And in that, there's a creative anointing, and we see creation begin to unfold. In that breath of life, purpose is created. What I'm seeing in that heaviness that I felt on Sunday is a lot of the church right now is going around without purpose. We're kind of looking at the clock and the calendar, and we're looking at the season, and we're looking at a date in November where here in the States, it's a time for elections. We're thinking about holidays, family members, travel plans, and did I accomplish all the to-do things, to-do lists and plans that I had for the season of 2022? And I'm looking around and I'm sensing God saying, the church, if they're not settled and allowing the breath of God to breathe into them, the purpose, they're going to miss the identity. And when we don't have identity, we can't walk where God's calling us to. And each believer, each house is called to different things. We see this when God says, well, you can't all be the head. You have to be a hand. There's a foot that encompasses the body of Christ. So without that purpose, there's no true identity. And we're finding ourselves in our society in the identity crisis. Many of you know, some of you may not, but we have the great honor, Evangeline and I, of announcing that we are pregnant. Thank you. For me, this is a beautiful thing. I'm like, God, I've always wanted children. I'm adopted. I don't have any biological siblings. So there's something unique and beautiful to see on this ultrasound that I have partnered with the Lord to create something. And as I'm pondering this process, and in April we'll be able to see, but what would this baby look like? Are they going to look like me? And this has started conversations with Evangeline and I, and we're talking about how we're going to raise our kids. And, you know, before marriage, we've had some of these conversations. And sometimes we have not always agreed, which is okay. But now it's kind of coming down to, what are we going to do? A house divided against itself cannot stand. So where we are willing to begin to compromise, but we're trying to find the purpose and identity for our family. So we're wanting the breath of God to breathe over our family so there's life, purpose, and identity. Because I don't want my son or daughter in 5 years to say, I think I am this. And that's not biblical. Because I have a mandate from the Father for me to receive the breath of God and to breathe it onto my offspring. That's part of my identity. Part of the ministry leaders is to take that spirit and breath of God and to breathe it over each individual. In John, we see Jesus talking to the disciples. He says, wait here in Jerusalem. Wait here in Jerusalem for the promise. Then he breathes on them. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. I believe that was a beginning. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But I believe that was a beginning of kind of dusting them off from some of the thoughts that they were dealing with. And saying, I'm going to open this place so you can actually receive the breath of God. Isaiah 11, verse 1 through 2. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So when we have that Spirit of God, the breath of God, the Ruach of God, what it brings forth, the byproduct, is wisdom and understanding. So if I have wisdom and understanding, I am knowing how to move with God in each of the situations. So right now, as I'm talking with my wife about how we're going to build our family, I don't have fear. I don't have fear because I know that if we allow the breath of God, I'm going to have the wisdom. I'm going to have the understanding to flow with him. It brings counsel. It brings the might of the Spirit of God. And it brings a fear of the Lord. Do we have a healthy fear of the Lord? And I don't want to talk about maybe what it might have looked like 30 years ago. Maybe if I'm not wearing a suit and tie, then the Lord's going to strike me dead. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's a healthy understanding that we don't go before the Lord and lie, because as we can see with the story with Ananias and Sapphira, the Holy Spirit through Peter spoke and says, you guys were not honest and truthful. And therefore, because you lied to the Holy Spirit, there's a consequence. And it says right after that happened that the fear of the Lord fell upon the church. There is and needs to be a healthy awe and fear of the Lord. That's why I'm going to God right now and saying, God, how do you want me to raise my family? I don't take it lightly. And there's this beautiful thought as I'm looking right now at a 2-inch baby on the monitor. And there's a fear of the Lord in me saying, you know, I see a lot of parents here, but I'm telling you, I know it's not easy being a parent. I know I made my parents get some gray hairs. I'm already starting to have gray hairs, and we haven't even started the process. But I know that as I allow this daily interaction of the Lord to allow the breath of God to come within me, that I'm going to have the wisdom, that I'm going to have the understanding. This has been a summer of U-turns, left turns, and everything in the middle. And I'm amazed at what God has done. And there's been many moments that I've come into church, and don't get me wrong, I know the power of God. I've known the presence of God. I know the comfort of God. I've had family members die in my arms, and I felt the peace, overwhelming peace of God. Even when I wanted to run and hide from God, he was there because I was hurting. I've seen God do miracles. I've seen God bring people from brink of death back to life. I've seen God do miracles in my life, but there's moments where I can come in here and on a Sunday morning not feel a thing. But if I base my interactions with God based upon the feeling that I'm feeling at that very moment, that's not giving God due credit, because it's not all about my feelings. Not say we push feelings aside, but when I sit here, I can raise my hand. I can worship God. But I also need to allow the breath of God to fill my lungs. We sing that song. We sing that song. You know how we breathe in oxygen? What do we breathe out? Exactly. And if we have too much of that in us, what starts happening? We get dizzy, disoriented. We make rash decisions. And I'm not saying that if you're not having the breath of God, that you're not a believer, that you're not a Christian. But what I'm saying is the church can act like some really crazy people that God's not asking us to be in crazy, perilous times. And when God says that you're a peculiar people, it's not because we're having a lot of carbon dioxide in our spirit. It's because we actually are allowing God on a daily basis to allow him to breathe the life of God in us. And what I'm finding is even in controversy, even in conflict, oh gosh, I love being married. Being married has, it has made me such a better man. It's made me a better Christian and a better follower of Christ. My wife right now is on a business trip, so I don't think I'm going to have a flying donut or ice cream at me tonight. But we had a couple of Saturdays ago, we had one of the best arguments ever. And I'm gonna be honest, I started the argument and it was all my fault. But how my wife handled it, I put so much trust in her. I kind of got a little crazy, and she just looked at me with just eyes full of love. She said, "Honey, just pause a moment. Is that what the Lord wants you to believe right now?" When my wife points me to God, I know something's off, and it's probably me. And the best thought is for me to pause and breathe. And in that moment, I'm wanting to breathe the breath of God in. Because if I don't have that breath of God, I'm going to come up with my own conclusions, my own defenses, my own knowledge, and my own wisdom. And I'm going to tell you, that's failure. That's failure right there. And I stopped. And I tell you what, it was amazing. Now, on Sunday, the next day, we had an argument, and it wasn't great. And I was like, dude, why couldn't we repeat what we just did? This was great. But God still did a marvelous work because we were both committed to breathe in the breath of God and allow him to take out what was not holy, what was not godly wisdom, godly understanding, and to build something. And we even see in Job 33, 1 through 5, we see this encounter where Job has had a lot happen to him. And we see one of his friends really, really speak at him, and I'm going to jump to, I don't have it listed here, but the end, and it says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the mighty gives me life." So he's saying the words that I'm speaking to you right now to bring this conflict, to begin a straightening out, because he's got the wisdom of God. He's saying the breath of God is enabling me to do this and to correct you, Job. And there's moments where God's positioning harvest in a very divisive political season. In a world that is only getting to get more divisive no matter what happens. And I really hear the Lord saying, prepare your hearts to to have the breath of God, to have the wisdom of God when people come in, not to speak of our own accord, to speak with the breath of God, that it shakes things, that it bursts things, that it breaks the yoke of the oppressor off. See, the trap and the lie of the enemy is, did God really say? Did God really say? We see this in the garden. We see this in many different aspects in Scripture. Did God really say? And if we don't have the breath of God within us to begin to have that understanding to say, no, I'm not questioning that. I can ask God why. Like he did on Sunday. I come in, I'm feeling heavy. I don't feel the breath of God. And I'm saying, God, why am I not feeling this? And he's saying, this is why, to have that understanding. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, feelings. There can be restlessness. There can be feeling defeated and prideful. And we know that the scripture says that those things are not the things that we should be dwelling on. That's of the flesh. But when I feel those things, I like to take stock and account. Why am I feeling this? Why am I feeling angry right now? So one of the things that when I go back to that Saturday and we had that argument, what was I feeling during that argument? Well, I felt frustrated. You know why I was feeling frustrated? Because I was playing a video game and I was playing a soccer video game and I lost 5-2. So I was feeling a little frustrated. So if I'm really honest with myself, I can understand why is this frustrating. And not taking it out on my wife on a conversation. And then say, God, why am I angry? Because that's not just it. And so I'm able to backtrack because now I'm allowing the breath of God to fill me and to begin to bring wisdom and understanding of why I'm feeling this. A lot of times in church and in ministry, we're like, well, who cares about the freeing? Let's pray it away. You can pray it away for a second. But just like your engine light on, I don't want that engine light to stay on and just think, oh, it'll just go away. I need to take that into the mechanic so we can take a look at it because that's going to cause more damage and more harm. Why is the American church so at odds with itself, much less society? Pastors, you're asking, how can we get people in the doors? It's not about how to get people in the doors. It's asking the questions of, why are people disinterested? Why are the young people disinterested? And unfortunately, part of the problem is things that happened in the church 20 and 30 years ago. Understanding the why. Understanding the feelings. But we also need to understanding that the feelings must bow to the spirit. God did create us with souls. And in that soul realm, we feel. And I'm so glad I feel. Because I have feelings of love for my wife. I'm glad I feel that. I don't push that aside. But I allow that feeling. When I hold her hand, I get dizzy. And it's a beautiful thing. I remember a couple of years ago. And we were just friends. And Evangeline and I would sit on the front row and we might be one seat apart. And I'm just thinking, man, I would love to hold her hand. Man, but she's just my friend. Then we started dating. Then I got to hold her hand. I was like, wow, this is amazing. The feelings, the connections. See, it is important when we come to church to have the feeling of being connected to the Father. I know he's holding my hand. It's okay to weep when we're in his presence. It's okay to feel joy in his presence. Come to the next and last verse, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. I may not read a lot of this, but I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this. We like to talk sometimes during transition and worship and use the scripture. But as we see Ezekiel in this place and he's speaking to these dry bones, what is happening in this passage? One, we see dialogue with God to him. And that's important to constantly hear from the Father. Secondly, we see there's a prophetic utterance. But it's not just a prophetic utterance. We can all prophesy. But as Paul said, without love, it's clanging cymbals. But there needs to be the breath of God in it. Just because it's there and it's good words does not mean the prophetic word, the reading of scripture, prayer. It doesn't mean it has the breath of God in it. That's where we need to partner on a daily basis to get the breath of God. God, would you breathe on this? That there's actually life. When there's life, there's purpose and identity. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them and all around, and behold, there was very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you. And you shall live. I'll put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. When we have the breath of God, people will know. People will see. When Pastor Matt spoke a couple weeks ago, the words he spoke pierced my heart, pierced my spirit. And it's not just because he's a godly man, but it's because he was speaking the word. It wasn't just because it was speaking the word. Because he was speaking from the word, but speaking with the breath of God. I also noticed he'd just come from Israel. When you go to Israel, you get undone. But you also come to a place of just being one-on-one with God. So as he brought the word, there was this, the breath of a spirit of God within it. I don't want to sound foolish, but with the breath of God, it was like Pastor Matt could have just said, you get free donuts, and I would have been, oh! Because there was a breath of God. There was life within me. And I looked at Evangelina, she's like, dude. And it's just like when the disciples were on the road to Emmaus and they didn't see Jesus for who he really was, and he was speaking to them. And when he left, they're like, did not our hearts burn within us? Once their eyes were opened that we were walking with Jesus, our hearts were burning and we didn't even know. And part of my challenge to us tonight is we don't always have to speak these profound words to our coworkers or to our family. But I want them to know through the breath of God that there's something there that moves and shakes because life begins to birth. It's not condemnation through rules and religious regulations, but it's through life and liberty that brings purpose because we're allowing God to breathe upon us, to breathe out. And that's one of the things I love about the prophetic movement. The healthy, pure prophetic movement. Let me rephrase that because we all have seen some of the cray-cray. We've seen the $100 line, the $50 line. If you don't know what I mean, thank the Lord. But that's what we want. We want people to be so full of life that they want that instead of the darkness. Because after a while, that doesn't give them the purpose. It doesn't give them the identity. And the wisdom falls flat. I want those dry bones to rattle. I want the sinews to come. I want the flesh to come. And I see God building this house to begin to be the arms and the feet of God in this region. And I just hear the Lord saying, have that purpose. Allow me to breathe. Allow me to breathe in your worship. Allow me to breathe in your ministries. Allow me to breathe as you go out and minister into the neighborhood. Because that's what's going to draw them. That's what's going to heal the community. That's what's going to heal the divided America. It's the breath of God, the Ruach of God, that's going to stir this nation to be before him. It's not a political entity. It's not the holidays. Well, if I can just get my family member there to help carve the turkey, if I could get them that gift that will make the that little cross, maybe if they see the little cross at Christmas, it will help them. That might be a kind gesture, but we want them to be filled with the breath of God. We want the dry bones to no longer be dry. Will you go ahead and stand with me? I'm going to ask you to take a couple of seconds. Just open up your hands and ask the Lord to bring the breath, the Ruach of God into you. No matter where you're at in your life, no matter what ministry you're helm, no matter what you do, no matter what your occupation, that His breath right now would fill your lungs, it would fill your spirit, it would fill your heart. So come, Father. Breathe. Just breathe. Breathe over your beloved. Breathe over your beloved. That this election year will see your heart through a church that's full of your breath. That we have a season at Thanksgiving. That you have a church and a house that's filled with your breath. That Christmas we have a church that's filled with your breath. To come a new year that you have a church and a house that's filled with your breath. That there are no dry bones. Just take one more moment. Just allow Him to breathe. I hear the Lord saying right now, someone that's questioned your gifts, questioned your assignment in ministry, that God is saying, I am birthing a renewed breath in you that you know you are called. It's just been you're using stale breath. So, Father, I just speak that identity of hope right now in Jesus' name. There's someone that you're ahead of the family. And right now the family is in great turmoil and distress. And you're struggling to keep things going. And I hear the Lord saying, lean into me. Lean into the wisdom that I want to give you, for it's there. And I'm going to show you how to speak to that one family member in particular that sometimes is the problem. And I'm going to give you the right words. Don't go to them. They're going to come to you. They're going to ask you for your opinion. And really mean it. And that's going to be a shock to you. But when that happens, the Lord's saying, allow that to happen because that's going to be a sign to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, right now. I hear the Lord saying, even over the worship ministry, you've seen a new birthing in that. The Lord's saying a new shift is going to happen here at the end of the year. And it's going to take you into 2023. And it's going to cause the new sound to emerge. And it's going to break a yoke off of the Chesapeake region. And the Lord's saying it's going to bring a blessing and a life. And you're going to see some leaders just affected by it because the sound is different. It's covered with a love. It's going to be covered with a love that's been birthed out of brokenness to healing and restoration. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Chuck, I have a word for you. The Lord's saying you've been faithful for many, many years to birth many sons, many sons, many sons. And He's saying you have been faithful, and He's called you blessed. And He says He's going to fill you with even more wind of the Spirit because you're not done. You're not done giving birth. And He's going to grow the men's ministry to a different dynamic and a different dimension. The Lord's saying it's not going to be as weighty as it was before. And He's going to bring you two men of honor and valor. They're going to hold you through and to push you through. And the Lord's saying the next 5 years are going to be years that are going to be full of plenty and reaping the harvest. And you're going to look and you're going to see so many men set free from addiction and pornography. And Lord, saying the prayers that you've prayed over this house and over the pastors, you're going to see many of those prayers be fulfilled before your eyes. And Lord, saying what you've gone through this year has been the enemy trying to nip at your heels. And the Lord says, I've broken it off. You have been and stand in that place of victory. And you're going to see a shift in your family. And you have done well with your sons. And the Lord's going to say, I'm launching both of them in a new direction, a new season that's going to unite and set a fire Europe. The Lord's hand is upon you. So, Father, we just thank you what you're doing tonight. Father, allow the breath of God to fill us. I pray as we go into prayer that your spirit would just move within us, that it's not prayers full of striving, but it's ones that is full of wisdom, purpose, and power and anointing. In Jesus' name, amen.